14 minutes away from 4 o'clock. It's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas on a sunny Tuesday afternoon. Hopefully the sun stays out well into the evening as well. I think John Laufman mentioned to Bruce and Craig earlier today in the morning show that we're getting an extra 2.5 minutes of sunlight per day.
That was on his, It was on his website he got there, that where John Laufman tells the young kids about the weather.
Good stuff.
Yes.
Very good stuff.
Yeah, glad I could help.
Well, yesterday, the Cleveland Indians, with a come-from-behind victory over the Chicago White Sox, we detailed that in the opening segment, and our very next guest was there in the, I'm not sure if you call them frigid cold temperatures. It was
pretty chilly.
Very, very cold, very, very chilly. But Margaret Reardon with the Baseball Heritage Museum, she was there enduring the cold weather, and she stayed through the entire thing to see
impressive.
An Indians victory. Margaret, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
We are doing really well and enjoying the sunshine. Hopefully there's more of it for the other Indians games that you go through throughout the course of the season. But
absolutely.
We need more of that. We need more games like yesterday. Very, very exciting stuff. And speaking of very exciting stuff, the Baseball Book Club this weekend, you have a presentation about a book called From the Dugouts to the Trenches. It details baseball and World War One. What kinds of tales will be told this weekend?
This is really a fascinating story. If you're familiar with Baseball Book Club, it's a program, an ongoing program, where we choose a book as a jumping off point to discuss a subject. And all of our programs, we try to tie in how baseball was part of the bigger fabric of the culture and the happenings of the time. And this book definitely does it. When the program is actually going to be happening 112 years, almost to the time that the United States entered World War One, April 6, 1917, and at the time, Europe had already been embroiled in 3 years of this a war that people had, the likes had never been seen. This was the beginning of trench warfare, modern weaponry. No one knew what was coming, and no one really knew what to do to, you know, address what was happening in the world. So President Wilson, who was a big baseball fan, had been wrestling politically and publicly as to whether the U.S. should get involved, and finally, there was no way that we could not help out our European allies. So we enter the war on April 16th, and almost immediately the impact on baseball starts to be thought about, and this is what the context of the book is. The owners started to worry about money and losing audiences and players, because at this time baseball was the booming sport. The government saw ball players as the perfect collection of young, fit, potential soldiers because they were used to regimen and training. Players wanted to enlist, although the draft didn't always make that optional, to show their patriotism, and some didn't want to enlist, so they would get jobs in other war-related fields such as manufacturing and things like that. There was a very strange thing that happened called the fight or play law that was enacted. And it was all designed, according to the law, to keep people who are hanging around the pool halls who might try to get out of enlisting, they needed to get jobs. So the whole controversy around baseball became, was baseball a real job? And there's a whole part of how the argument was that ball players were supporting families, doing the only job they knew how to do. So we'll be talking about that. There were conversations about whether to play the season at all, whether to end the season early. Mr. Dunn in Cleveland, who was the owner of the team at the time, was one of the ones who thought we should end the season early. There's just all of these kind of making up the rules as they went along kind of stories. And, of course, unfortunately, racism also came into it, because at the time African-American players were not playing in the major leagues, but they still went to fight for the country. So that's just kind of an overview of the many things that we'll be talking about on Saturday.
Very cool stuff, and there's just a lot to detail there, and I think what's fascinating is that, you know, here we are 100 years later, and my, how the times have changed. You talked about how the discussion was, is baseball a real job, and now you have guys making well over $400 million. So it's interesting how things have not only changed, but changed drastically as well. And I guess the other question I have here is, you know, how did this affect the minor leagues as well? Granted, you know, the minor leagues weren't as big then as they are now, but I know this certainly had a trickle-down effect.
It's actually the minor leagues were devastated before the major leagues. And I'm not quite sure, I'll have to go over actually why that happened, but the minor leagues were affected before the majors were. And then when the selective service draft started to go, the players from the major leagues were being taken away from the game. So it was just a very tumultuous 19 months, because that's how long the United States was involved. It was tumultuous for the country, and it was tumultuous through the sport.
No, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, no, that's okay. A good thing, a very sweet part of the story is how, even though everyone was very confused at how to address this, all of the teams started to have war bond drives. There was a big push to send bats and baseballs over to France, because that was the recreation that gave the soldiers a relief from the stress. So it's really a fascinating book, and you really feel like you were back in 1917, 1918, trying to figure it all out with everyone else in the country.
Margaret, you know, it's fascinating. And when you talk about World War One, World War Two, heck, even September 11th, I mean, baseball always sort of becomes the forefront of those talks. Your opinion on it, is that one of the reasons why you kind of consider baseball as America's pastime? It was always kind of there.
Right, I think so. I mean, that's my personal opinion. I think it's the thing that connects people. It takes you out of whatever tragedy or tumultuous situation you're dealing with. It brings people together. It's a sport that emphasizes teamwork and camaraderie, and I think there's also the comfort of the consistency that baseball has basically always been the same. I mean, rules change and morph, but you know, it's always the batter, the pitcher, the team, and there's a certain comfort in having that as something to go to. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that statement.
Again, we're talking with Margaret Reardon with the Baseball Heritage Museum. This weekend, they are Baseball Book Club, from the dugouts to the trenches, talking about baseball and World War One. And, well, you guys have a lot of other things happening in addition to the Baseball Book Club. Of course, the Cleveland International Film Festival is going on, and there's a screening of a film called 1955, A Baseball Story. Tell us about this as well.
Right. The full title is A Long Time Coming, A 1955 Baseball Story. We're a community partner with CIFF 43. This is the story, and here we go again. You know, racism is coming into the fabric of baseball, but it's a story that needs to be told. It's a story of a 1955 Little League team in Florida. They were an African-American team, and they kind of desegregated the Little League climate in Florida. So we're going to be screening this in April. Well, they will be screening it down at Tower City April 5th at 6:15, which is a Friday, and April 7th at 9:15 a.m., which is a Sunday. And it's a beautiful film. It's a documentary. A lot of the former Little League players who are now senior citizens talk about their experience. Hank Aaron is in it. I believe Cal Ripken is, and it's a hard to watch film, but it is a beautiful film. So we hope everyone will come out. And if you, when you get your tickets to these or any other screenings, if you use the discount code BASE, BASE, you will get $1 off any ticket.
Oh, awesome. All right. Very good stuff. And of course, you mentioned that plays this Friday and this Sunday, correct, at the Cleveland International Film Festival?
Right, down in Tower City.
Okay, very cool. As a matter of fact, we had Patrick Shepard on about a week or so ago from the film festival.
He talked a little bit about it as well.
They're doing some great stuff down there.
Yeah, they absolutely are. Well, Margaret, before we let you go, I know at the end of the month, you guys also have a presentation on Luke Easter. Tell us the details on this.
It's a author named Alex Painter, who is joining us from out of town, who wrote a book called Folk Hero Forever, The Eclectic, Enthralling Baseball Life of Luke Easter. That'll be on April 27th. That's a Saturday at 1 o'clock. And we will have copies of the books for sale. Luke Easter, of course, came up to the majors through Cleveland, so we're hoping that we'll have a number of people who had a connection to him come to the program. And I have one other thing between that. This was actually just added, if I may mention
this. Sure.
We are having April 15th every year is Jackie Robinson Day, when the Major League honor the arrival of Jackie Robinson on the Dodgers. So on April 13th, which is the Saturday before, we're going to screen the 1950 film, The Jackie Robinson Story. It stars Jackie Robinson as himself, Ruby Dee as his wife, and a number of other very well-known faces from the films in the 50s. So that's another free screening, and that's how we're going to be honoring that legacy this year.
Outstanding. So that's the Saturday before Major League Baseball celebrates Jackie Robinson Day, correct?
Right. Yeah, and that's April 13th at 11 a.m., actually. It's a little earlier than most of our programs.
Okay, very nice. Well, yeah. Margaret, always a pleasure. Boy, we covered a lot of ground today, from World War One to Luke Easter to 1955. We've kind of hit on a number of different topics here today, but that just goes to show just how many cool things are happening down at the Baseball Heritage Museum.
Right, and how rich the reach of baseball is. So that's part of our message.
No question about it. Well, Margaret, as always, we appreciate the time. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Great. Thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Margaret. Again, Margaret Reardon with the Baseball Heritage Museum joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. A lot of cool things happening down there over the next month for sure. All right, we need to get to a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon in just a few moments. We'll get back to Matt Douglas with the local news. And speaking of local news, at 410, Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram joins us on our local beat. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
Did you know that nearly 40% of the individuals served by Second Harvest Food Bank are children? This year, the Lorain County Board of Commissioners and the Solid Waste Management District are partnering with Second Harvest Food Bank of North Central Ohio for the Harvest for Hunger campaign. Residents can drop off non-perishable food donations at the Solid Waste Management District's drive-through collection center from April 1st through the 15th. The center is located at 540